Well, good morning, church. Today and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And this in response to requests from some here within our church family for us to talk about this particular subject. So the two in the series will be today, we will address what is their purpose, and then next Sunday, how to discover your gift. And in preparation for this message, I was astounded by the huge amount of material that's been written on this subject, it's very difficult to get through it all, but I did find that a book written by John MacArthur Jr. On spiritual gifts is an excellent reference source, and so I would recommend it to anyone who would like to deal more in this area. Well, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, and if you have a Bible, follow along with me. If not, you will find it appearing on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read from a few verses, starting at verse 4. Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And then in verse 11, it is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. In considering what is the purpose of spiritual gifts, I wish to do this by starting with a series of questions. First, what is a spiritual gift? Probably the simplest definition of a spiritual gift would be this. A spiritual gift is an ability to function effectively and significantly in a particular service as a member of Christ's body, the church. Spiritual gifts should be distinguished from natural gifts, which are particular artistic, athletic or mental abilities or talents. Natural gifts are given to us at birth, ultimately by God, but genetically inherited from our parents. Spiritual gifts are given to us at conversion, at our new birth. They're given by God, independent of our parents. Second, is there a difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts? The gift of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gift are definitely different. The first is singular, the second plural. The first is the Holy Spirit himself. The second is the gifts which he imparts. Third, who receives spiritual gifts? Who gives and receives spiritual gifts? Some would argue that spiritual gifts are given as a result of praying, waiting, and earnestly desiring them. But Scripture clearly teaches that gifts are sovereignly given by the Holy Spirit according to God's plans and purposes for our lives. And we have that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in Hebrews. The recipients of the gifts are clearly all believers, according to 1 Corinthians 12. Fourth, does the Bible give a list of spiritual gifts for us to consult? The New Testament provides us with six lists. Three of those are found in 1 Corinthians 12, and others in Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Peter. So hang on in here, this is a lot to digest and take on. And that's why I've given you a bit more on the slides, information if you're taking notes. The main list is found in 1 Corinthians 12, where gifts are listed in order of their importance to the body. Apostleship, prophecy, teaching, miracles, healings, helps, administration, and tongues. Now, the gifts can be categorized as special gifts. These are gifts given to equip God's people. Speaking gifts to explain God's truth. Serving gifts to enable God's work. And the sign gifts to establish God's authority. Sign gifts are those that are more miraculous and may or may not be present in a permanent nature. It is important to remember that it is the Holy Spirit who gives gifts as he wills. Man, irrespective of theological position and arguments, cannot limit the Holy Spirit in the giving of any gift at any time. The gifts are the gifts of the Spirit and not the gifts of thinking mortals. God alone distributes gifts to the church as he wills. They are the result of God's grace, and we do nothing to earn or deserve them. Fifth, is it true that every member of Christ's body has a spiritual gift? Yes. When the Holy Spirit indwells us at salvation, he brings with him the gifts or gift designed for each one of us. And again, we have that in 1 Corinthians 12 and also in 1 Peter. Now, having addressed these questions, let me get back to our topic and consider what is the biblical purpose of spiritual gifts. In doing so, I wish to first consider the topic from a negative aspect and see what the purpose is not. The purpose is not to promote personality. Everyone say that. Not to promote personality. Though it is necessary to say this with deep regret and reluctance, we all must have met those who have sought to advance the popularity of their personality by a demonstration of such gifts. Into the sad category, of course, would fall Simon Magus, of whom we read in Acts 8, verse 18. He earnestly desired to be an outstanding personality, to attain the heights of privilege, and popularize himself by staggering the community with the demonstrations of power and ability. Today, many selfishly have desired these gracious gifts under the plea of advancing God's work, when the real motive has been only to promote the power of their own popularity and personality. This was never the true purpose for them. It may seem strange to say that the operation of the gifts does not necessarily indicate that they arise out from someone with a spiritual and consistent life. Unfortunately, many people are blindly swayed by such manifestations, and with awe and wonder, almost place a halo around those who frequently exercise these gifts. Such an attitude was firmly rebuked by Peter long ago when he observed with awestruck wonder what mesmerized the gathering in Solomon's porch, and he chided. Why look at us as though we have made this man walk by our own power and godliness? Sadly, today some would glory in creating such an impression and sanctimoniously seek to establish their spiritual status by the usage of the gifts, feeling that the more frequent the manifestation, the more spiritual that they will be seen. We must never forget that the purpose behind the gifts is never to proclaim the spiritual superiority of the operator. Never. Not for excessive emotionalism. Everyone say that. Not for excessive emotionalism. Notice the emphasis that I've put on this word excessive. There is little doubt that for some people, emotional excitement is the only purpose in these gifts, especially in relation to sign gifts, though they would be deeply offended if you confronted them with this searching truth. To them, these sacred gifts are an exciting stimulant. If there was no such sensation, there would be no exercise at all by these people. Nowhere in Scripture can we find any support for such an attitude. Yet at times, churches can be inflicted to their detriment with this selfish sensationalism that was never intended to be the purpose for these gifts. Let me say this. The exalting of certain gifts over others tends to diminish the importance and use of other gifts and leads to pride and a lack of balance in the ministry of the local church. Now, having thus viewed the situation negatively, let us now take the positive aspect and see what the real purpose is revealed in the Bible. Just why God has given these gifts. And so I don't disappoint anyone, I shall use some alliteration. Firstly, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Everyone say that. The exaltation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter. The undergirding principle in all that we do is what? The glory of God. Amen? Amen. Everything we do is for the glory of God. We must exercise our spiritual gifts in order to glorify God as he desires. Peter teaches this in 1 Peter 4. When writing of our spiritual gifts, he says that we are to be exercised, that God will be given glory in everything through Jesus Christ. Paul had already written this in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 10. But here he becomes more specific. Yes, gifts are for the purpose of glorifying God. But there is still another, more immediate purpose. The purpose is the edification of the body of Christ. God is glorified when we use our gifts to build up the church. So second, the edification of the whole church. Everyone say that, the edification of the whole church. This is implied in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul describes the gifts as services or administrations. In verse 7, he says the gifts are given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. The term of helping literally means to lift up together. To lift up together. God gave spiritual gifts so that the members of the body of Christ could by them lift up one another together. So while some may act like it, there is really not a gift of criticism. The gifts are for building up, not tearing down. Ephesians 4 teaches the same. They were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are designed to edify the church. Did you ever wonder why you are in the church? Here is one answer. To build the body. To build the body. You see, you're not here only to get, but also to give. You're not here only to sit, but also to serve. This responsibility does not just reside with the elders and the ministry team leaders. Every member is gifted, and every member is then responsible to edify the body with that gift. And for the whole body to be fully edified, all the gifts are needed. This is part of Paul's analogy in 1 Corinthians 12 regarding the body. The body is maimed and hurting without all the members functioning as they should. Imagine a foot not walking. Again, this was precisely the problem at Corinth. Everyone was out for number one. Gifts were desired to edify self, or even to display self. Today, the same problem exists. Many want a particular gift because it supposedly aids in worship, or because some similar personal benefit is derived from it. This selfish error is the primary reason for chapter 13 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, in which Paul teaches that love would eliminate that kind of attitude. He says in verse 5, love does not demand its own way. The purpose of the hand is to help the body, not itself. Likewise, the purpose of spiritual gifts is the edification of the church. Gifts are services. Their focus is others, not self. Thus, all gifts are to be used out of love for one another and in service to one another. In verses 20 to 25 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul expands on this a bit further. This is his point. If it is true that the gifts are for the purpose of helping others, and if it is likewise true that all the gifts are needed, then it also true that all gifts are important. There are no insignificant or unneeded members in the body of Christ. You may feel that since you do not have the gift of teaching or preaching, you're not important. To be sure, the teaching gifts do carry an honor peculiar to them. But all gifts are important nonetheless. Imagine the fate of so many Christian endeavors were it not for those behind the scene, and those behind them, behind those scenes being seemingly insignificant. But yet, through gifts of faith, giving, prayer, or helps, those endeavors would not have survived. This is God's established means of building his church. You may not feel that your gift of helps, for example, is very important. And if so, I'm sure your attitude will change when you find yourself on the receiving end of that same gift. Viewing them this way gives, I believe, the gifts more abundant honor. And it promotes mutual care and concern within the body. Spiritual gifts are designed to edify. Where they do not accomplish this purpose, they are abused and the church suffers. Some of the gifts still have another purpose, and that is to equip God's people to do his work. Everyone say that, the equipping of the believers. The equipping of the believers in Ephesians 4. Believers need to be trained and equipped in their use of their spiritual gifts. What does equip mean? The Greek word translated equip can mean to make one what one ought to be, to shape up, to complete, or to perfect. So the leadership gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4 are given to the church in order to make each saint what he or she is intended to be. The leaders are to shape up the rest of the body so that all members of the body are then able to exercise their particular gift. And the leadership equips the body for works of service, primarily through teaching the word and by living out the truths of the word in their lives. Thus, God's purpose is to train and equip his people by way of his gifted men and women. When believers are well fed and well taught in the whole counsel of God, then the body of the local church will be healthy, the life of Christ will be manifested, and God will be glorified. You see, a spiritual gift is an entrusted treasure which God intends to be used for its design and purpose. And we have that in 1 and 2 Timothy. A spiritual gift is not to be neglected or allowed to grow cold. Again, in 1 and 2 Timothy. The best training is use. Paul was constantly sending Timothy here and there for the use of his gift. Christ sent his disciples out on training ministries. So, how does all this, and we've gone through it very quickly, and it seems to be quite heavy and a lot to take in, but here we go. How does all this apply to us as a local body of believers at Church on Vogel? When the spiritual gifts are rightly regulated, obediently operated, and accompanied by consistent and consecrated conduct, then the evidence will be as follows. And this is a busy slide. Okay. So, I hope you've been to Specsavers the last week. Everything in this church will be directed toward bringing glory to God. Each individual member will be built up and established in their faith. Members will have a practical care and consideration for one another. Peace and not confusion will prevail in this church, and everything will be regulated in a decent and orderly fashion. Individuals will each be a powerful witness and possess a deep love for the Lord. The demonstration of God's power will be the normal function of this church. The church will be held in favor and respect by all, and there will be an increase in the number of people being saved and baptized. Paul begins 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with an exhortation. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. I trust this message today on what is the purpose of spiritual gifts has created in you a desire to discover and develop yours. We are the hands and feet of Christ. We walk this world in his absence to give his tender and merciful touch. We can't do that well without using our spiritual gifts. And we can't do it at all without love. Let me close with the application from today's message. It is this. Spend some time in prayer and volunteer your services in some area of ministry. Be serious about your own spiritual gifts and seek to find that place where you feel God would have you serve. Remember that God, by his sovereign will, has placed you in the perfect spot within the body of Christ. Are you what he has called you and wants you to be. I now invite you to take a moment or two to reflect on your position within the body of Christ and on your position within this local church, Church on Vogel. Father God, in these quiet moments, may we have a fresh glimpse of your great glory that will inspire each of us to be the people you want us to be. We pray that the gospel we profess may shine in our faces and be seen in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, and it is our prayer that He will rule supreme in our lives, so that we will faithfully and obediently minister the gifts that He has given us to others. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to.